My name is Father Eddie Volz. I am the Associate Vocation Director and also Chaplain at Lindenwood University. It's my pleasure to be here. You all can get even with Father Michael Lampe, though, for having me drive out an hour in the snow. I was his classmate in the seminary, so I still like to tease him. But you do have my permission. You know, this might be an interesting gospel passage, but for a vocation director. So I'm going to talk a little bit about vocations tonight, but for me, the heart of everything is prayer and perseverance with Christ. And so those of you who are not looking to this during your vocations, I hope you still get something out of it. But this gospel passage speaks to me because it speaks of perseverance. You have two stories here that speak of perseverance. One, a woman who is suffering for 12 years. And I wonder why it took 12 years before God gave her this grace. You have a little girl who dies. And you wonder why Jesus let her die before he said, no, she's sleeping. And I think we can wonder a lot of things like that in our life. Why does he make us wait? Why do we come praying before the Eucharist over and over and over again, praying for many of the same things? I'm not going to be able to fulfill that answer for you tonight, but I can tell you my story. I'm 39 years of age now, never wanted to be a priest, enter the seminary at 32. And in 2005, while I was obtaining a master's degree in theology at Steubenville University, my attitude was, I will do anything in the Catholic Church other than become a Catholic priest, be a youth minister, a high school teacher, counselor, anything. And so I ended up from Buffalo, New York, moving out to Troy, Missouri, where I worked as a youth minister for 4 years. And again, when I got that job in youth ministry, my view and literally my prayer before Christ and the Eucharist was like, Jesus, I just want to get married, and I know you said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be granted unto you. And look at me. I'm here in a church being a youth minister, and I'm just going to wait for you to send me a good, amazing, beautiful Catholic wife. It didn't work out well for me. The Lord smiles upon me. Happy about that, though. But it's interesting. From the time of 2005, around 2005 was the first time I literally remember crying as I was falling asleep at night. I'm not trying to be too dramatic here. But over a period of years, at least 10 times, because I stopped counting at 10. At least 10 times I remember falling asleep at night and thinking, God might want me to be a priest. And just thinking at the time, how sad and how lonely that must be, and how I didn't want to be a priest. And just saying, like, Jesus, I don't understand this. Take this away. Make me happy to be a priest. Like, I hate this feeling. And, you know, the next day I'd feel better. Maybe a few months later that would come back one night. My last year as a youth minister, maybe some of you can relate to this. Sometimes it feels like God just puts his hand on you and says you need to do something really strongly, inexplicably. In my last year as youth minister in Troy, Missouri, 2011, for the whole year, this idea of the priesthood, it became inescapable. And I say inescapable because it haunted me. I remember thinking with great bitterness and sadness, like, I don't want to be a priest. Why am I stuck thinking about this? Why am I enduring this suffering? And I finally had a friend, and he told me he thought I would never find peace until I at least applied to the seminary. And he's like, I think you at least need to do that. And so I came up with a great idea. I don't know why it took me so many years to think this, but I finally decided I will apply to the seminary, and I will tell them I am depressed and bitter and angry about becoming a priest. And then it took me literally all of these years to finally get to a point where I'm like, they'll probably just look at me and say they don't want me to come anyhow. And then I can go on Catholic Match and find a good Catholic girl, because I was done waiting on God. I remember Bishop Rice was the vocation director at the time, and I wrote him an email, and he called me back, very enthusiastic, and he said, "Hey, like, I didn't even know you were thinking about becoming a priest. Great to have you, Eddie." And my first words over the phone were, "Well, it's not a very popular career choice these days." And Bishop Rice was like, "Well, if you want to set up an interview, we can still do that." I'm like, "Yeah, I guess we'll do that." I could tell he wasn't expecting that. A few days after that, in the throes of depression and bitterness and anger about this, I talked to priests, I had prayed novenas to St. Teresa Lisieux, to the Blessed Virgin Mary, prayed and prayed and prayed over years, like, "What do you want me to do, God?" Now I'm applying. And I remember walking out of my office in the throes of sadness and depression to go greet the kids in the school. And there was a young woman there. She was in eighth grade at the time. I'd known her since she was a little fifth grader. And that year she had been on a kick to get me dating someone. It was very sweet, very genuine. And I remember this day she once again randomly came running up to me. And she's like, Eddie, could I talk to you real quick? And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And she looks at me and she's like, "Really, I want to talk to you. You need to start dating someone. Like, you make a good dad. You make a good husband." And then she started giving me suggestions of single girls in the parish. And as she's telling this to me, we've all had those moments where we're just hiding our pain, our sadness, our desolation, because we feel like we're supposed to. And I remember walking out of that office being utterly crushed and depressed, thinking, "I've applied to the seminary. My life might be ruined." And then as she is bringing up never having a wife or kids, I didn't know it was possible to get more depressed, but I did. As she's telling me these things, I remember thinking, "Oh, I've applied to the seminary. She doesn't even know. I'll never have a wife and kids. I'll be lonely for the rest of my life." In that moment, like a strike of lightning, out of nowhere, I was filled with more love and more joy and more peace than I've ever experienced in my life, before or since. One of the saddest moments in my life, in the next second, I am filled with thoughts of, "Oh, I will never get married and have kids of my own, because I would rather be a priest for you and other young people like you. I would rather pray for you, help you get to heaven, be there for the most difficult moments of your life. I want to be a priest." I didn't say any of that to the young woman, but I remember thinking it. And as it happened, I actually knew I was experiencing something miraculous. I knew I was experiencing the grace of God. I knew I was experiencing something that was utterly not from me. Not from me. I tell you that story tonight, because the story of my life, really, it's the story of the hemorrhaging woman for 12 years. And the only thing I can tell you that I've learned from that, it's worth waiting, it's worth suffering for, it's worth toiling for, it's worth praying novenas to St. Teresa Lisieux that don't seemingly get answered, it's worth praying novenas to the Blessed Virgin Mary that don't seemingly get answered in the time that we want. Because God can transform our lives in the blink of an eye. He can transform the lives of those around us in the blink of an eye. He can take a young man or a young woman who's in the throes of pride of life, and in the flash of lightning, through the grace of God and through our prayers, he can bring them to the heart of Christ, and he can bring vocations into their life. And if not vocations, he can bring the life of grace and the life of God back into their soul. I'm standing here. I'm standing here before Jesus Christ. I never know what to say when I'm standing here before him, because I think I should just be like prostrate on the ground saying, "Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, have mercy." I don't worry about that too much, though, because I'm like, he died for us. He prayed on the cross, "Father, forgive them if they know what they do." He healed this hemorrhaging woman after 12 years. He let this little girl fall asleep and then picked her up again. And I know he's certainly taken me in all of my life and all of my sins and all of my imperfections, and he's poured grace into my life. And I am still such a work in progress. Ask my sister. Ask Michael Lampe. He could tell you. He lived with me in the seminary. Where can we go from here? Learn to smile at Jesus when he doesn't answer you right away. Learn to smile at him. Look at him in the eye and say, like, "Jesus, help me be patient. Help me persevere. And help me have the faith so that I don't ever walk away, or I ever don't stop praying, or I don't ever grow lukewarm. Help me do that, Jesus." And you're allowed to smile at him, sometimes with gritted teeth, because sometimes it's hard. But we need patience often in our lives to receive those graces, not only for ourselves, but for other people that we want here with us. It's worth it. It's worth waiting. The father said, "Jesus, I need you for my daughter." And then he watched her die. It was worth waiting for, because Jesus took her by the hand and the little girl arose. That dad's not disappointed. He got everything back. My closing point is this. Jesus takes events in our life, and I always feel like he often is like, "No, you got to get the lesson." Not just from that moment, but for the rest of your life. And one of the many lessons he taught me from that story, because I look back and I'm like, "Jesus, I prayed a lot. I don't know why I didn't get that grace sooner." And I always tie the grace that God gave me coming from the fact that I finally stepped out with the worst attitude in the world, by the way, and said, "I'll apply and I'll be brutally honest with where I'm at." The grace came once I obeyed. There's a verse in the New Testament. St. Paul says, "The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey." The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey. The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey. As we speak to Jesus Christ, so humble and so gentle and so quiet before us, let's bring him our hearts, ask for a greater outpouring of his Holy Spirit in our lives and in the lives of those we love. And may we bring him those things in our lives that we hold on to and cling to and say, "Jesus, I'm too tired, I give him up. Treat me with your mercy that you treated all those who've turned to you throughout all of history. And pour that mercy on me." May Jesus Christ, most kind and so merciful, pray for us. May the Blessed Virgin Mary help us on this night as well.